in der Fremde, weit von Mames Zeugen, hat die Schmutz mir dich das erzeugen. Geworden ist von mir a Weiler Jan. Ich bin a Vremel, der fähigste Marwicher.
At the end of the 19th century, events in Eastern Europe led to the emigration of increasing numbers of Jewish people to Western Europe and the United States. Many of them settled in the poorer parts of London, where a compact Jewish community had already established itself. As a result, areas like Whitechapel, Shoreditch and Bethnal Green gradually became referred to as the Jewish East End.
Geschmutzige Magnaten, bin sich mechaie, wenn ich dach, als der Magnat. Ich bin a Vremel, gur a Boiler Jad. In der Fremde, nicht gehad zum Leben, gebeten Bräut, an Orner Fleck nur geben. Jene Lad, die seinen Tomit satt, pflegen oft, treiben mir mit Zoren. Ha, spaks da ganne, sind me koim geworen. A ganne bin ich, nor a boiler jan. Ich bin a vrein.
It was 1914. When we came to England, I know that because it was the year the First World War broke out. And my mother's brother came to Romania, where we were, and my mother's sister, that had had a terrible experience, to take us to England. And we were four children, four daughters, and my mother and father, my uncle, my aunt, and she had four children. She was a widow. And we came over on the boat, and it was a very bad crossing because everybody was ill. My mother was pregnant at the time and spent her time on a bunk, really feeling bad. We were all bad, and personally, I was also seasick. And my uncle took me on his knee to try and brighten me up a bit. And we got to England. My uncle took us to his home. He had a nice home in St. Peter's Road, in the East End, St. Peter's Road. And from there, he got us settled into a house that was one room and the kitchenette downstairs, and two very small, a bedroom and a very tiny room at the side. And we all had to live in those two rooms. There was an outside loo, I should imagine. I mean, I was very small. I can't really remember that much, but I do remember when my mother had my brother. We were really very poor, and didn't have a cradle or a cot. In fact, I don't think there would have been room for one. So she had one of those orange boxes, you know, a little crate, and she had the baby in that. And it was rat infested, that little house. And she came into this little, I don't know from where, and she saw a rat jump over my brother's little thing, and she got him up, and she got a little kitten. And this kitten must have been bitten by a rat, because after that, every morning when my mother came down from the bedroom, there was a row of rats lying on the floor that this kitten had caught. But we didn't stay there long. I think it was 1 year or 2 years, and then we moved to St. George's Street.
A Reus Amazig, a seltener Talent, oi, oi, fell nicht auf Marken, wie jene Frosse jaten. Die Flor bei Karge, schmutzige Magnaten,
A big tenement block, but wooden stairs, and everybody had to keep their wooden stairs clean, and there was gaslight, and down below was a cellar that housed two coppers, last coppers. They were for people to do their washing. There were still about 14 families to do washing. So the earlier you got up, say if you got up 4 o'clock in the morning, you lit the fire and you get with a very big stick and ran down with the baskets of washing, and nobody could touch that copper, and the other copper might have still been also used, and that's how the washing was done, you see.
The difficulties of settling in the foreign country were compounded by parliamentary legislation in 1905, which attempted to restrict entry to Britain to people who had visible means of supporting themselves. Although largely ineffective, it was the first piece of immigration legislation to be passed in Britain, and acts such as these caused a series of problems for the Jewish community.
I can remember that I was not quite 8 years of age when the First World War broke out. And at that time, all aliens had to have, it was called an alien registration book, I think. And, of course, as we had a shop, which was literally open all hours, anybody and everybody came in for help and advice. And I can remember this woman coming in with a form, and my sister saying to me, Frieda, will you fill in this form for this lady? And I looked at the form and I said, when were you born? And she said, 7 weeks before Pesach. So I said, you must have a date. I said, which month of the year was it? I said, I don't want to know. He wants to know. I'm filling the forms out on behalf of the government. And she said, I have him in dread. Let him go to hell.
Auf dem Weg steht ein Bäum, steht eingebeugen. Alle Vögel in den Bäumen sehnen sich zerfleugen. Zwei kein Misrech und zwei kein Meier. Und im Rest kein Deuren, und der Bäum gelost allein. Hefkere fahren Sturm, sog ihr zu die Mame her. Sollt mir nur nicht sterben, weil ich Mame heim zu zwei. Bald der Vogel werden, ich will sitzen auf den Bäumen. Und will ihn verwiegen, über Winter mit a Trist, mit a schönem Nigen. Jam, tari, tari, tam, tari.
Once settled in the East End, the Jewish people started to set up their own market stalls and small retail trades. Alan Kane, who went on to make his fortune as a dance band singer in the 1930s, described his experiences as an apprentice at Shares, a silk and wool shop in Petticoat Lane.
When I first started, I was a sweeper up and a tea boy. And the tea, I had to go across to Ostwin's, opposite Shares. And Ostwin's tea shop, oh, with a smell in there, and see them having their tea and cheese buns. They used to make my mouth water. They were very hot favourites. There were, in the streets, opposite Shears, there were stalls and shops. There were the pickled herring and cucumber stalls with fat ladies sitting by those large pickling barrels. And being initiated to the tricks of the elder salesman, I can clearly remember what terrible experiences I had with those elder salesmen that pulled my leg unmercifully. I fell for the gag when I was sent out to buy a half pound of rubber nails and a left-handed hammer. Yes, I went shop to shop, left-handed hammer. The salesman in those shops must have got a kick out of it. And I was serious. But I must say that there is no better school of how to be a salesman than 3 years that I had in the lane, as they called it. Now, a salesman never gave the rock-bottom selling price to a prospective customer, in the lane especially. One had to allow for the selling price, had to allow for the baiting down ritual. A favourite ploy was to cut certain popular pieces of cloth or silk equally into half rolls. And many a time a customer, who thought she or he were expert in getting the best bargains, they would handle the cloth and with a turned-up nose expression say, I like the design, but haven't you got something better quality? And out came the tactical reply to the customer, I have, but it's expensive, and you won't pay the price anyway. So immediately the customer says, don't worry, let me see it. And so with studied reluctance, the salesman goes into a back room, or might call out to a fellow salesman, Alf, let me have that top quality WX special line, will you? So it came up, the other half of the same material came along. The customer feels a cloth. Very often there was approval saying, now, why didn't you show me this before? So, and many a time a sale was clinched through this routine.
Und das Winter, Leibel nimm, heut tu es und du scheute, ob du wirst nicht werner Gast zwischen alle heute. Heut die Fliegel, es ist mir schwer, zu viel Sachen, heut die Mame ungetun, das Feigele, das Schwachen. Ich teurig mir rein in die Mame Zeugen, dort ihr Liebschaft nicht gelost, wären ihre Feugen. Auf dem Weg steht der Beug, steht reingebeugen, alle Fägler finen Bäumen. Sehnen sie zu fliegen. Tantari, tari, tantari, tari, tantari, tari, 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 tantari, tari, tantari, tari,
many of the most vivid memories of these people concerned the religious rituals and services which were maintained and upheld in this new environment.
The house was absolutely kosher. Mm. In fact, she used to wash up the meat dishes downstairs rather than use the same sink that she used her milk dishes up in our kitchen. She would take them downstairs. She was very, very particular. As far as she was able. there were some things that she had to do on Saturday that were that she couldn't help doing. There were things she didn't shop on Saturday. She wouldn't wash or iron or do anything like that on a Saturday. She wouldn't cook on a Saturday. She wouldn't do anything that was unnecessary. But occasionally, if she had to light the gas or light the fire or switch on the light or something like that, she would do that.
Right, so you didn't have a Shabbos goy to do
no,
that?
No, we didn't. We didn't. Her parents did, but we didn't. But she wouldn't do anything that was unnecessary. Not even for convenience.
У нас die Rebbe singt, oi, singen alle Chassiden, oi, singen alle Chassiden, oi, om, 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 singen alle Chassiden, oi, om, 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 singen alle Chassiden. Und wenn dir Rebbe, und wenn dir Rebbe, essen alle Chassiden, hoi, essen alle Chassiden, mai, amamamai, amamamamam, essen alle Chassiden.
My days at Chada weren't all that happy. The minister there was a bit of a bully. In those days, the normal fee for the classes was 2 shillings a week. Well, we, of course, couldn't afford 2 shillings a week each.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to pay, and of course, when you join, they say, well, the fee is 2 shillings, you pay as much as you can. Most of them paid 2 shillings, because Hackney was quite, you know, they could afford, most of them could. But we used to pay 6 pounds. And once a month regularly, the headmaster used to come round, or he was the minister of the school then. The Cohen girls. I see you only pay 6 pence. You know the fee is 2 shillings, and why are you only paying 6 pence? My father said, what, still? You told me that last time. What's wrong with him? We tell him, didn't make a bit of difference. Exactly the same
people.
Thing the following month, exactly the same thing. Yes, in front of the whole class. He was a bully. And now I think my mother was wonderful to send 3 girls to Chida.
Mm.
If it would have been boys, I could have more understood it. But in those days, it wasn't so important for girls to learn Hebrew. And to spend 1 6 pence a week was a lot of money that she could have used for other things. So all praise to her for sending us to learn Hebrew.
Und wenn die Rebbe lacht, und wenn die Rebbe lacht, lachen alle Chassidim, hoi, lachen alle Chassidim, ayamamababam, yamamababam, lachen alle Chassidim, ayamamababam.
I would like to make the point that Dad joining the shul, Jubilee Street, in the first instance, was very conscious how important a choir was to the service, how much it beautified the service, how it enhanced the spirituality of the service. And he was ardent about having a choir because it would make his performance better and the general service would be enhanced. And so he pleaded with the what they called the gubbers, the governors of the synagogue, who were big businessmen. And they said, we can't afford a choir. So Dad said, right, I'll go ahead and I'll get one on a semi-voluntary basis. And he organized a choir. There was one tenor. This tenor, he had it's Billy Bunter proportions he was, with a pink angelic rotund face, and had a bass who was, he could have been the double of Lord Kitchener with that huge Kitchener moustache with a very deep voice, and then six mischievous choir boys, schoolboy choristers. Now these boys got tuppence a week from Dad, plus an extra penny for each rehearsal. And they did a very good rehearsal. They got a bag of chips, money to buy a bag of chips on top of it. It was finished rehearsing. He was very warm towards them and very strict when they didn't pay attention and used to lose his temper when they were naughty. Soon the choir became very popular with the congregation. And Dad made most of the vocal arrangements and often adapted operatic arias for the hymns, much to the delight of the regular Sabbath congregants. So if you can picture the scene at the holy services, there was the chazan, my father, on the almemah at the desk with the choir in a semicircle behind him, and he conducted the choir, which he wanted to keep rather unobtrusive. He had conducted the choir with his index finger unobtrusively behind his back, whilst giving forth with his cantoral arrangements and his own solos. Now, these 10 and 11-year-old choristers, realising that their choir was popular with the congregation, they got together one day at a rehearsal and confronted my father with a demand and said, Chazan, we want a penny a week increase. Well, it sounds like nothing today, but a penny bought a lot of things in those days. My father said, well, can't pay any more out of my wages, and that's it. So nothing was said, and on the following Friday night on Shabbos, the service went ahead, and in the middle of the service, at the point where the choir had to come in with a great flourish behind Dad's solo, his finger went behind him, and he brought them in, gave them their cue, and there was a deadly silence. So I say that surely this must be the only occasion when there was a strike in a synagogue during a holy service.